You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Doreen McCarthy. She's in New York at the moment. Doreen, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me. Nice to meet you.
So, Doreen, let's talk about your work. I know a good amount about it, or what I've read and researched. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're working on at the moment and how you work on your projects?
Well, at the moment, in the past, I would say, 2 years, I've been working in the studio without a specific site project or exhibition project, because I needed some time to try and shift the mastery of what I was working on. I wanted to subvert what I was comfortable with and challenge my methods. So I work predominantly with plastics, inflatables, plexiglass, lenticular plastic. So there's some parallel practices going on, but I wanted to disorient myself in a way so that I was uncomfortable with my own work and see where I could create some surprises in some new work and expand the aesthetic language. So that's been unsettling but fantastic at the same time. And so it's been leading to some new work. I currently have an exhibition, a solo exhibition, up at Almack Gallery on the Lower East Side, and it opened in June, and it will reopen again in September. It's on hiatus for August. So I have exhibition projects, and I'm working with a choreographer as well on some sets. But in the meantime, I've really been ensconced in the studio and trying to see where I could challenge the language of my work. So that's...
Well, maybe let's talk more about the studio. But first, for the show that's currently up, that's going to be open again in September, since the mm-hmm. interview will be coming out to people right when that's still up. Can you tell me a little bit about what's in that show, what kind of objects, and
what I like about this project is that it's in an outdoor space. It's the title of the piece is called Outdoor Voices. And Almack Gallery had recently, last year, moved into a new space. So they have three floors, and they also have this outdoor space. And asked me if I would be interested in installing my solo project in the outdoor space with my inflatables. And I liked that opportunity because I think it's really fabulous for me to see my work in an unusual context, not in the well-lighted white box, and how the work responds or interfaces with that site. A specific site is always wonderful for a sculptor because it takes your work someplace where you wouldn't have gone if you didn't have that site. And so there's four pieces, and they're actually smaller works of my inflatables. They're the prototypes for the very large pieces when they're fabricated, and they're all suspended in the space. So it's about kind of gravitational force and about weight and weightlessness, and it's also about the contemporary understandings of a non-traditional material. And my inflatables, even though they have been used by artists in the contemporary lexicon, that's mostly been used in a more pop language, and my work is very, very formal. So it also gives the viewer a chance to sort of see how the space gets renegotiated by having these sculptures in a non-traditional gallery space.
Right, because it's so often, I mean, some of these works, I mean, when you talked about kind of the POF reference, I guess you mean like Klaus Oldenburg or
exactly.
and works that don't address the same formal aesthetics that yours do. So in this exhibition, there's also maquettes for much larger work, it sounds like?
Yes.
As well?
I mean, they're the prototypes, and they function fine as sculptures in their own right, but they're made first to figure out the issues of going to the larger scale, and they can be as large as 15 feet. Mm-hmm. So these pieces are all about 36 to 40 inches. So they're not tiny, but they're smaller than the the pieces that they are the prototype for.
And so as you're working now or experimenting, I mean, we could go back to maybe how an earlier large project was put together, but it's kind of interesting the area you're in right now because, of course, you're trying to find something new, and that's a little bit of an impossible task, right? You can't do that by force. You have to experiment, and your materials are so unusual. Does that mean you're experimenting with new materials or putting them together new ways or drawing? Like, how does that come together for you?
The experiment is about seeing how I can have the materials not dictate to me what I know they can already do, to see what further possibilities there are. And so there's the kind of knowing and then the not knowing. So I've been working with inflatables, for instance, since the 90s. And I feel like every time I complete what I call a body of work, because I've solved a certain way of working with them, I take it to someplace new. And there's challenges with the fabricators because they sometimes are saying to me, no, we can't do it. So then I have to rethink and I have to reorient my thinking about the imagery and what I want and how I want to shift the language and what is actually doable. And the same thing with the plexiglass. I don't want it to be just about a rigid material. How can I make that material and give it a language that's my own and do something unusual with it and surprising? And part of that comes out of how sad I am sometimes when I look around at art and so many of the markets and the art fairs, how unsurprising and how predictable so much art is. So it became really important for me to see if I could surprise myself in my own, with my own work.
Yeah, of course, that's very important. Perhaps we should talk a little bit about what happened. That was 2013 in Berlin, right? The Airclad, which was a large installation there.
That was really large. They were all about 15 feet. It was a really fantastic space that was a public foyer in a building that Philip Johnson had designed, and they were 70 meters high, and it had ambient light because there were skylights. And Peter Lindenberg curated me into the project, and it was very grid-like, and I really wanted to respond to the grid and to the sort of muted colors and with the ambient light. So the sculptures that I installed were very curved. They were very linear and architectural, but in a almost lines in space, like sculptural lines in space, and have very bright colors so that it would activate the space on different fronts, emotional and poetic as well as physical.
I think it's a very beautiful installation from what I've seen of it, and to put together something like that, is that all built and assembled there, or is all of this shipped from the United States?
No, my fabricators now are in China, so that's where the factory is, and then we ship it, and they're inflatable, so they can, you take the air out, you put them in a container, and they can be shipped rather easily. And then they're inflated on location. And, it wasn't a simple installation. I mean, it was, they don't weigh a lot, but that you still have to suspend them 70 meters, 80 meters up. Mm. So it's a bit complicated.
Yeah, but it's kind of wonderful how efficient that is for shipping. And, that's the kind of envy of many artists who are.
And storage,
right?
Because sculptors don't have
storage,
an easy time with storage either. But I mean, the idea of like line in space, it's not an unusual motif throughout the history of art, and and especially in modernism, and that's one of the factors that's informed the language of the inflatables of late. And now I'm making them more of a mass, a more traditional sculptural mass, and I can also have LED lights embedded in them, which changes the density of it once they're lit. It's quite different.
Oh, that's very interesting. And this particular exhibit, Airclad, in Berlin, was that part of a traveling show, or how did that exhibit come about? Because I know you've been to Germany, several times before that.
Yes, I've been exhibiting in Germany since the 90s. There, I find that I'm treated very well with a lot of respect, and the work is well received. No, this was a curated project, and then I did use some of those works in another project at Indiana University, at the Indiana Center for Art and Design, and that was curated by Kelly Wilson and Jennifer Riley, and Kelly Wilson is the director of that space. But that was a more expanded project because I also, besides installing in the gallery, I also installed in the foyers of two of the corporate offices of Cummins Engineering, which is a big presence in Columbus, Indiana. So that was it was an expanded project. That happened around, you know, like in the same year.
Mm-hmm. So some of them are obviously coming through curators, but from what you just said, does that mean some of them are also you're working directly with the institution and not necessarily a curator in some cases?
Well, both of those were curated projects. I was invited, by these curators to do these projects, and you make them unique depending on the site and the circumstances of what's available. So in Indiana, the Cummins Engineering was, when they saw the installation in the gallery, asked if I would be interested in installing the work in their corporate areas, and I brought more work out. We shipped more work out and worked with them. They were really supportive, so that's how that came about.
And there's one other show that I'd like to talk about before we go, which is the one in Hotel Chelsea. I know that was, almost a decade ago. It was in 1999 or more. And I want to ask about that partly because of the romance of that building. Of course, it's changed, and as far as I know, there aren't art residencies there anymore. So how can you tell me a little bit about how that came about and what happened in Hotel Chelsea?
The Hotel Chelsea is a very known hotel in Cologne, and for a long time Cologne was a really big center for the contemporary dialogue, 70s, 80s, even into the 90s. And Dr. Werner Peters is the proprietor of the hotel, and he would artists to do residencies, install their work. He also had a barter program where you could donate a work to gift a work to the hotel, and then you would have a credit, so you could stay there. So, for instance, the lobby where the concierge is, there's a Joseph Kosuth in the lobby, and you go each room in the hotel. Represents a particular artist. There's Ava and Adele. There's a Walter Donn room, and a Kippenberger room. Along those lines.
Amazing,
so
yeah.
I was asked to do the residency, which was like about like 6 weeks, and be in Cologne and install my work and make new work and just have a chance to be there. So I took over the whole hotel because they also have a Café Central. So I asked him if I could even install in the cafe. So, that's what I did for a month, is I just installed the work and made new work.
Exciting. And such a fascinating place that, I've never been to, but heard quite a bit about. So that leads us back in your studio. I mean, talking about these recent projects and also collaborating. I mean, you had a collaboration with a dance company doing sets. Are you doing any collaborations like that now as well?
Yes, I'm working with a young company. They contacted me and have asked me if I would, help them and, work with them to do some sets. And so that's always interesting because, again, it's the same thing as having a new site, which gives you a challenge to think outside your comfort zone and respond to a new environment, take your work someplace you wouldn't have gone if you didn't have that site. And to add to the dialogue is a performance and the concept and the activity of the dancers. So to typically I would spend time watching rehearsals and getting a sense of the content and the concept of what they were working on, and that would inform where I would go. The last piece I did was with Skin Dance Company, and they did a piece called The Purple Planet. So I made a huge installation for their set. And I used the infinity symbol, and it was because it was on a stage, we embedded LED lighting so that we could enhance the experience of, you know, the objecthood and the dancers. We'd add a little more drama. So I really like having that experience to challenge where I would go. You know,
An interesting way for artists to work. Of course, Jasper Johns did that with Cunningham and others, and that seems to be something that visual artists...
Well, even before that, I mean, the Russians, the Moholy-Nagy. I mean, there's a beautiful exhibition of Moholy-Nagy at the Guggenheim right now. I mean, he worked on theater sets. So that's not, you know, an unusual thing, and it's really a great impetus to expand your creative language.
Hmm. Well, especially because it has to be, besides being collaborative and almost interpretive, it has to be large scale. A stage is an incredible venue in a way to install for, I would think.
Yeah, it's a little daunting, but that's the fun part. I mean, I find that the more uncomfortable I am, you know, the more of a challenge, the better, because it's also exciting. That's, I think, somehow where I can maybe be the most creative, so to speak, or, you know, the most inventive, maybe. That's a better word.
Right. It's very exciting, and exciting to know what's going to happen next from your studio and that people can still see the show as this interview comes out.
Projects, you know, two-person shows coming up in the next year, so some of the new work will be in those shows.
Oh, great. So we'll list some of those in the interview here, too, so people can follow that. And I always like to ask before we go, is there a book or books you're reading now that you might want to mention to share with us?
Well, oddly, I usually read fiction, but lately I've just been picking up some art books. I just finished Jack Goldstein and the CalArts Mafia, which is a bunch of essays by people who were participants in the creation of CalArts and the program that it has become. And then I picked up the Robert Irwin's Notes Toward a Conditional Art because I've recently seen two exhibitions of his work and listened to some interviews and find him so eloquent that I decided to have the books, you know, the printed version.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. Yeah, those are both interesting books, right? The CalArts Mafia, that probably starts that whole phrase or notion of that a certain academic environment can be so influential as well as, I don't know, whatever mafia means.
I know. Well, the essays are quite gossipy rather than art speak, but it was still curious. And I actually was introduced to some artists that I had never heard of. So that was a kind of great learning experience, too.
Well, Doreen, thanks so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and the work that you're doing.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.